Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. It's another great day for another awesome episode of the She Said Project podcast. Thank you for being here. I'm Jeanette Jerzyk, your host and national director of this amazing platform called the She Said Project.
And I'm Carrie Rosso, co-founder and co-podcaster. I'm your sidekick.
Sidekick who was the one who created this whole thing. we say this all the time, but it's like I adopted the child that you birthed, and we are co-parenting, co-raising this child. But it really is a place where women can come together and shine, and you've helped me do that. And I've hoped that I have taken your legacy and paved the way forward for many, many more women.
Oh, my goodness. And then some. Thank you for taking care of my baby.
I shared that metaphor with someone recently in one of our shows, and she said, oh, it's an open adoption then. I said, well, yes, actually, it does. Yeah. It does feel like that. I said, you know, the founders of the She Said Project are welcome to visit anytime, join in the fun and the magic that we get to create. But as always, it's an honor that I have been able to pick up the reins and keep it going and help it grow so that more women can experience what it's like to stand on a stage and share a raw and intimate part of your life journey. You've been there, Carrie. You've been on the stage with the spotlight. It's something you can't explain. You can only experience.
Yep. Until you've done it. And that's the beauty of having the shows be of local women, because I'll be out and about and I'll see someone like Chandra Somerville walking down the street getting her exercise on. And my heart just like pitter-pats, like, oh, there's a She Said sister. Or I see Nancy Sullivan, I pass her on Prospect. All of those things, and it just the connections just are a beautiful thing.
I think that's the word, connections. It happens with every show, but it happens outside of the show, in the community, in the audience. It's just bigger. It's bigger than one woman. It's bigger than one woman's story. It's so interesting that you should mention Chandra Somerville in your story there, because she is our guest today on the podcast.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, honey. Thank you for being here. And I'm so excited to say here in person in the WILL Illinois Public Media Studios where we get to record our podcast.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
So it's only been a few months since you had the experience of standing on the She Said stage in the Champagne Cast in 2023, not that long ago. You just heard Carrie's explanation of that connection, that community. Do you resonate with that?
I do resonate with it. I will tell you, I've been a She Said groupie from the very beginning. I recall when Carrie envisioned it and said, this is what we're going to do. It's just going to be one time.
I think we even have a secret, because Chandra was there, not just there at the first show 10 years ago, but you were on stage.
I was on stage. I was singing in the choir. I helped go and pick up choir robes so that we could sing. And
she was in the delivery room.
She was in the delivery room. It was something special. It was the, you know, our 10th anniversary. And Chandra, who, you know, that first show was just, it was supposed to be a one and done. And to have her, who had been singing her heart out on the stage that first show, and then all to come full circle, and that she
in the 10-year anniversary.
That is a full circle moment. I didn't even think about it from that perspective.
Yep. You sang in the first show?
I was in the background the first show. And then this show,
you were front and center.
In the front and in the center.
Finally. It was so great. It was perfect timing. Oh, my
gosh. And you're so well known in this community. In fact, your parents, very well known educators in the Champaign-Urbana community. And you did pay a beautiful homage to them in your story. And there was definitely this buzz, this community cheer when you mentioned them. And so, yeah, you're no stranger to this kind of community connection whatsoever.
No, not at all. Champaign is home. They are my people. Being born and raised here, I really am grateful for the opportunity of the bridges that I've been able to cross. and even after the passing of my parents, how bridges are still being built that I had no idea were even here in our community. So it's been a real gift learning the community now as I call myself an orphan, learning it as an orphan, because you have to totally rebuild your village after your parents pass away. And so you kind of learn about some new things, new paths that haven't even been blazed at all.
They would be so proud. So did you know when this journey started for you to brave the microphone, did you know right away what you were going to talk about? How did that happen?
So I had about three different angles that I was going to do. And what made me seal the deal was when the ladies, I had told them like about a story, and they were like, how did your mom talk publicly to you about sex that comfortably? Like, how did she? I was like, she just did. And so as we got to writing, I just said, okay, let me just go and go this route. But also, my mother is not the one that's well known. It's my dad, who people always say, I didn't even get to know your mom. But wow, I wish I would have talked to her more. I wish I would have interacted with her more. Because she was much more reclusive, much more of an introvert, but definitely was a powerhouse, definitely had a whole lot to say, and definitely had a lot of thoughts. So,
and in your story, you address your personal relationship with your mother, the type of friends and mother-daughter relationship that you had, the topics that you covered, and the why behind the topics. So I think this would be a good opportunity for us to share your story.
Okay.
So that our podcast listeners can be in on it with us. You did deal with some very sensitive subject matter. So before we hit play, would you share with our audience anything that they should know in advance?
So just be mindful, definite trigger warning. I do not go into details about it, but it definitely is a part of my story that is gasping. So just be prepared and take care of yourself once you hear it. But do not stay there. Keep listening, because there's more at the end.
Be prepared. We're going to take a listen to Chandra Somerville on stage in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, in That's What She Said 2023, our 10-year anniversary show, with her story, Amusement Parks with Baroque Best Friends. Take a listen.
Growing up in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, I heard mixed messages about sex. I would hear songs like, let's get it on, to let's talk about sex, baby, let's talk about you and me, to it's okay to say no, and if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. In a young mind that's trying to figure out their identity, I wonder, how do you keep all these messages clear? Do you do it? Do you not do it? And then there's the sweet talk from people that wanted to do it with you. Along with being raised in a Christian home, this could be a challenge. I needed fearless people that would embrace my curiosity and answer all the questions that I may have had. I grew up in the home of some of the best educators in the world. My parents, Willie T. and Valerian Somerville, they taught in Urbana schools for a combined, yes, they taught for 76 years combined. And so I learned very early why it was important to invest in all youth. I will say, though, being raised in a home like this was like living in an amusement park. I experienced all of the emotions in one place. So think about it, at amusement parks, you laugh, you cry, you feel rage, you get good food, and you just also feel peace just by simply sitting on a park bench, watching everybody else experience the park. You know, an amusement park also isn't all fun and games. There can be some very dark and scary places as well. I think about my introduction to sex. Let's just say that is not how anyone should have been thrown in. At 5 years old, I was a survivor of sexual assault and kidnapping the summer before I entered kindergarten. This kind of traumatic event can really screw a kid up. You know, I'm grateful, though, I had a mom that knew I was gonna need a whole lot more support than most girls she had worked with as a junior high counselor. Have you guys ever heard of that term, broke best friend? It's that annoying friend who always tags along, never has money to pay, but you know what? You just love them and you just pay and treat them anyway. Looking back, I was my mother's broke best friend. We had healthy boundaries, yet she processed everything with me. She was that mother that did not shy away from reproductive health and well-being, also known as sex. My mom's perspective was very broad and open-minded, if you were willing to listen. She wasn't this don't you do it kind of mom. She was the mom that explored the entire topic without fear. She led a Christian life, and being raised by a Christian mother made me who I am today. Her message to me was, Chandra, keep yourself in mind at all times. Make sure whoever you choose to be with thinks enough of you too. Sex talks with my mother were never taboo, and they actually helped me appreciate experiences that I had without shame and guilt that often happens for survivors of sexual assault. Her wisdom embraced my entire being to the point I went away to college, and she sent me packing with a whole big box of condoms and birth control for an entire year. I was even able to share with the ladies in my dorm, and my nickname, they affectionately called me Miss Condom Mart. So while I was in college, I met this man that was my senior, basically. He was a little older than me. He appeared to be mature. He met all of the standards that were perfect for me. He wooed me, and I was ready to ride the love train with him. On the winter break after my first semester of college, my mother and I were driving to the airport. These car rides were always where we would catch up because we would have uninterrupted time to just process everything. On this particular car ride, I let my mother know about this man that I met, and she had to remind me, I hope you're thinking enough of yourself to be safe. And does he really care about you and your well-being? I'm sitting in the back, rolling my eyes, and like, oh. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I screamed out, "Mom, I have needs, and I'm going to get my needs met." My mother was like, what? Okay, you might have needs, but he still needs to care about you. Of course, I listened to her and I rolled my eyes and I didn't talk back because I wasn't going to talk back to my mother. But I said in my head, I'm going to keep meeting the need. Fast forward, 4 months later, I had to make a call and let her know I was expecting a baby. My mother was so disappointed, but she wasn't disappointed because I had premarital sex. She was disappointed because she had prepared me for my choices. As mothers, we think about the way we prepare children based on our own fears instead of just giving tools when children just need to make their own decisions. I had to get real serious about life and make a decision because here comes motherhood, the biggest roller coaster of them all. This home that I was raised in that was like an amusement park gave me the ability to approach life with like twists and turns. I also learned I didn't have to live in this amusement park forever. It could just be a place I could visit. My mother showed me ways to explore life because she did not want me to live in fear. I chose to attend college 500 miles away from home in the state where I was kidnapped and sexually assaulted at 5 years old. She never questioned my choice and supported my decision. My mom knew a byproduct of trauma was going to be fear, so she would process all of my feelings because she knew I would be afraid. Please understand something, though. Even though I would ask questions, I'm going to make sure that it's going to be safe before I get on any roller coaster rides or any just unsafe things with people. I'm going to make sure that it's safe, even if I want to get my needs met. Thankfully, I had a mom who would process all of these decisions that I made. Some of them were wise, some of them were not wise at all. I was just grateful to have her in my life, especially when I experienced motherhood. You know, a relationship between a daughter and a mother can be tricky, especially with the kind of father Willie T was. He was very conservative, and he would say things like, "Why you gotta talk to her like that?" Because she just chose to be open and honest with me about things like sex. But you know, he never tried to stop our conversations either. Our conversations were very sacred. They were honest, and also they were very hilarious. Even with everything I had endured and what I had been through, she still raised me to live a life without fear of living. Our last vacation together, we actually visited an amusement park. Due to the logistics, my mother was not able to fully participate in the entire experience. Instead, she sat and enjoyed her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchild experience all of the ups and downs at this amusement park. The very next day, after this wonderful day at this amusement park, my mother passed away. This is while we were on vacation, and in that moment, I realized she had equipped me with everything I needed to thrive. I think about 29 years ago when she sent me to college packing with condoms and birth control. She wanted to ensure I was equipped for battle, and I still ended up with a baby. She recognized I was going to make decisions based on what I wanted or what I needed. She loved me, and she accepted me anyway. We were a fierce pair. I was absolutely her broke best friend. And she was the wisest friend that I could have ever had. And you know what? She wasn't even scared to talk about sex.
And did Wait, you hear that applause? There was so much applause.
Oh, I was about to fall out of my seat at this point. I have needs. When you I have said it many times over. I mean, not hubba hubba to give too much away. But seriously, I have needs. That just cracked me up. I loved that you felt comfortable just saying that to your mom. I love that.
And to a room full of, you know, 800-900 women in the community.
And men.
And men. And men.
And my child.
It was the greatest moment.
Now, Chandra shared with me something about that quote.
Uh-oh.
And we debated whether or not we were going to put it in the story. And she said, and I quote, "I think we're going to save it for the podcast." Well,
hey,
today's the day.
Here we are. Let's hear it.
So when
Spill it. When
it comes to, you know, having your needs met, tell us the story you shared with me.
So what they asked was the person that I was talking about, was I referring to my son's father? Because the way that the story was told, it was that I was with the dad before and it wasn't the dad.
So she had her needs met more than once. We know that. But then what did your, remind me what your mother said to you when you were in the delivery room?
So we were in the delivery room. I was like, "Mom, this hurts really, really bad. It hurts. It hurts." She said, "But you had to get those needs met, didn't you?"
How'd that work out for you?
So a lesson in consequences.
Oh. Consequences. You get the need met. You have 3 days of labor.
3 days?
Yes. Oh. I went in labor on a Friday and had him on a Monday morning via C-section. I was miserable.
After all that work.
After all of that work.
Oh.
And the need being met. And then this. I said, we're going to rethink. We're rethinking all this. And how do women do this over and over and over and over and over again?
We have needs, Chandra. We have needs.
So my mother tried to convince me after I had my first child. She said, "You forget. You forget the pain. That's why women do it again, because you forget." Do you think you'll ever forget? I mean, I did twice. You did four times.
Yeah.
So here is my thing about that. If you do not have a hard experience your first time, you do it again. So it's just depending on what it took to get the baby in the world. If it was, you know, normal contractions, 5 minutes apart, 18 to 24 hours, you know, those are like textbook things. But me, I did not have I had textbook all the way till delivery. It was a fantastic pregnancy. I was healthy. My hair grew. It was beautiful nails. I had beautiful skin. Like all of it.
I think that's true. I loved being pregnant. I wasn't sick not one single day. I loved it. And so I say that's why I wound up with like a litter of puppies, because I loved being pregnant, felt great. I just kept going.
I did enjoy pregnancy.
Yeah, pregnancy was fantastic. And after childbirth. Like, you think because the relationship with my son's father was a bit complicated, I also rethought, like, who you choose to have children with. Like, that's really important, podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to have children, there's another party involved. It's another party.
This is a PSA brought to you by Chandra Somerville. But it is true. Like, it isn't just about the needs. It isn't just about the delivery. It's about the next 18 years and who you have to juggle those 18 years with. Yeah.
Yeah. And that they want to be parents because we were both young. I was thrown in the fire. And the guys can kind of choose, do I jump in or do I just be the firefighter and spray the hose and have fun doing it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to hear. What was the reaction? Was anybody shocked? What was the feedback you got?
Everyone was shocked. Like shocked. So even to like my family, because my family was there. And I didn't tell, I hadn't told my family, like, what I was talking about. I told them that I'm going to talk about some things that happened to me when I was younger. And it's going to be homage to the relationship with my mother. I said, some of you will remember, some of you will not. So after the show, we had a whole conference. I have questions. That's what they said. We have questions.
Was there a family meeting?
There was a family meeting, and they had questions. And so I was just kind of able to answer their questions because they were like, why hadn't we ever heard that you had been kidnapped and sexually assaulted? Like, why didn't we know that? I said, we get together at Christmas. Do we sit down at the holidays and have those types of discussion? No. But in our private time and in our conversations, we can explore the whys and why we make certain decisions that we do. And then you move, then you can like heal and move forward and talk about, well, how did you handle that? What did you do? And so that's kind of the questions that we had. I also noticed there were some people that tiptoed like around it. Who kidnapped you? Who kidnapped you? Was it somebody you knew? So it was like people tiptoeing around that. So that was kind of like the jarring, like they were afraid to ask. And then there were some people who were like, I don't even know how your mom even just knew how to talk to you like that. How does she even know what to do? And I had to explain, like, my mom was a guidance counselor. And so her being a guidance counselor, she had a whole lot of skills just to be able to communicate with younger people about hard stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that specifically a lot, that she had that experience and she knew how to give you what you needed and give you space to heal and uncover things and how to have a healthy relationship with sex as an adult, which, you know, had its ups and downs, just like a roller coaster.
It is such a roller coaster, right? Yeah. But the beauty of it is that there's no shame in who I am. She did not put this level of shame that could have been associated with
and
it.
And that is a gift.
It is such a gift.
There are so many girls and women out there who have been through fill in the blank. And there's this layer of shame and guilt that's applied to it, whether it was their fault, not their fault. They, you know, made choices, whatever. But the fact that you walk through this earth just owning who you are, like, that's to be admired. Absolutely. Yeah. Regardless of the circumstances.
And the beauty of that relationship that I had with my mother, we got to process all the things because, like, you know, sex is probably 10% of the whole thing, but it really goes down to self-esteem. It goes back to how are you educated about just the wellness inside of you and your body? How do you go to and speak to your gynecologist? Are you ashamed about menopause? How do you advocate for your health, especially with the health disparities for Black women? Black women are dying at the hands of a whole lot of healthcare providers just because no one will listen. And my mother gave me some skills on how to speak up for myself. And she even would tell me, she said, I should have been taking you to all my appointments with me because your dad wasn't helpful like you. But he was being that supportive and loving husband for his wife, being present, making sure. But he was not asking the women questions. And she just would say, I'm so glad I have a daughter.
It's pretty special.
It is. It really, really is.
And by speaking up and speaking out, you get to be that role model for all of the women who saw your performance, for all the women who are listening here today, for all the women that you interact with in this community, because you are such a role model. You give women permission to be just open, honest, truthful, authentic.
And
all
the
of those
men
things.
Too.
And the men too, yes.
They get to be who they are in it too. Even them dads that's not ready to be parents.
Well, I love when you were like, it so resonated with me when you said your dad, I forget how you worded it, but like, why are you
talking to her like that?
That is my house. When my husband walks in and I'm putting it on the line, his face goes 10 shades of red and he just shakes his head and leaves. But I was like, yeah, that's right. We got to equip our girls. They got to know the things.
Got to know. Because they're going to leave you one day.
No, Chandra, why would you say that? Okay. Why would you ruin this beautiful moment? My girls are never leaving my house.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got like 8 more years. I wish it would hurry up.
I will tell you this, do not rush.
I know.
Enjoy and embrace these moments. I was looking at a Facebook memory today and my son graduated from high school 10 years ago. Not graduated from high school today, 10 years ago. I have a whole adult.
You have a whole adult?
A whole adult.
Those Facebook memories will get you.
Oh, yeah.
They will get you. No, my husband and I absolutely mourn the fact that we're already more than halfway. And it's, you know, what do they say? The days are long, but the years are short.
Yep.
It's
so true.
So true. Like, we just finished our school year, and the fact that my baby, we blinked, and we have a middle schooler, and we're literally in shock. But I do challenge myself to have the hard conversations with my two girls. I do look to women like you, Chandra, for advice and guidance and mentorship. I do love having Carrie Rosso in my life, who keeps it real and keeps me laughing. But still, we talk about the hard things. Mm-hmm. And
it's true. And I think I'm a cautionary tale, basically. So I did not have any of this education. I was literally clueless. And when I was like 16, I was in health class. I had breached the perimeter. I don't think I had permission to be there. And our health teacher was talking about an activity between two consenting adults. And I was so shocked by the words coming out of her mouth before I could censor myself. I said, on purpose? Like, you know, maybe you just like everybody stumbled and you wound up in this unfortunate position. And I remember everyone started laughing and I was like, dang it. Clearly, like there's a lot of fun going on and I don't know about it.
You missed it.
Yes. And I thought, I am not going to raise that kid. I don't want my girls being thinking that, you know, sex happens when you stumble onto each other.
Well, when I had the birds and the bees talk with my oldest, you know, and explained how babies were made, and she gave me the look with, oh, you and dad did that twice. Well, there's
That's
two
right.
of you, so.
Just twice. That's right.
Just twice.
So this is all leading, Chandra. Can you come over and talk to my girls tonight?
Sure. I do think about it. You would be an excellent sex educator.
Yes,
I definitely
would.
Think so.
So Let's also talk about when Planned Parenthood was thriving and doing very well and we didn't have a whole lot of interference. I was a teen sex educator.
Wow.
Yeah, my mother wanted me to go. That's how I had the box of condoms, because I was a part of the teen awareness group at the Planned Parenthood of Champaign County.
Teen awareness group.
I was part of the teen unawareness group.
Tag. And we used to have like empathy bellies and like that showed the pregnancies.
Empathy bellies, really?
Mm-hmm.
Google now that's, it. I mean, but that's education. That's showing, that's consequences, showing girls, you know, what consequences look like and feel like.
And that's why she was so angry, because she's like, you knew better. Like, you knew. What was it? You know, what was it? And so it just kind of goes back to children are going to make their own decisions.
Ding, ding, ding.
They really, really are. You can equip them. You can get them prepared for life. You can tell them all the things.
They are dedicated. They are invested in making mistakes. And they should be making mistakes
well,
at that age.
Well, we made them.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Like, yeah. We made mistakes.
Good kids make bad decisions every day.
But there's this, I don't know what world it is, but it's some world that believe that children should not make mistakes.
It's part of learning. It's part of growing up.
And then the people who are like really criminalized for it. And so, yeah.
But look at you today.
Today is, it's
perfectly imperfect.
Look at you.
Beautifully
look at
imperfect.
You.
Beautifully. We're all beautifully imperfect. Mm-hmm. I loved that you shared at the end of your story the day you went to a real amusement park. I think we were all like in shock when you shared that, because we found this beautiful metaphor for the story. And then you're like, no, we were really there. And then that was your last memory. That was it.
Yes.
That was the end of the journey. And it just fits so perfectly.
Yes, we went. And like I said, it was, she wasn't able to participate fully, but we were actually there just enjoying all the ride. And it was grandkids and great-grandkids involved.
Enjoying the ride.
Sometimes you're on the big, crazy roller coasters, and sometimes you're just sitting on the park bench watching people enjoy and just enjoying the peace of it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's life in an amusement park with Chandra Somerville.
And my broke best friend. I was her broke best friend. She was wise. I was the broke one.
I love it.
Do you have broke best friends today that you would use?
Sebastian.
Yeah. Hanging out with you. Yeah. I think we all have that friend. We all have that friend.
Yeah, Sebastian. My son used to be before he got a job.
You taught him well.
Yeah. Adrian has a job and is doing very well. And actually for Mother's Day, like, sent me on a train for a gift. I got a chance to go down south at his expense.
Oh, he sent you on an adventure, on a journey?
On a trip, yes.
Nice.
And I had the most amazing time. I did exactly what I wanted to do as a mother.
Look at that. You done
everything
good.
Like I wanted to do. I did not get anything I did not want.
That is a gift.
What a gift.
Children,
you
if
that?
You're listening, don't give your mother things she doesn't want. Ask her.
But shh.
That's awesome.
But on that note, that's perfect. Life lessons. I mean, mother to daughter, daughter to son, friend to friend. Life lessons. That is my beautiful takeaway. And to take care of yourself, because things happen. Life is hard. People make mistakes. People you love make mistakes. But listen, communicate, be open. These are all the little nuggets that I get to take away from our time together today.
Thank you, Chandra.
And our time together, you know, it's been months now, and it was a beautiful journey. So thank you for being part of the She Said experience. Thank you for reliving some of it here today on the She Said Project podcast. And thank you to everyone who joined us today, because we do. We dive deep. We get to know these women on a whole new level, and we get to learn and grow. Peace out.
Over and out.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Perfect. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.